This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Some of you asked me about march that took place and the reflections on that. I said I will just then share my thoughts in front of everybody, inshallah. In the end of the day, alhamdulillah, we're one community, and inshallah, some benefit to reflect and to collectively discuss. As you're aware, this last Saturday, alhamdulillah, it was the largest march ever in support of the people of Palestine, of Gaza, in Washington, D.C. And we had a rally. It is estimated that around 400,000 people attended. This is a massive success, alhamdulillah. This is a very, very unprecedented quantity of people. And as far as the eye could see, if you see the video footage, mashallah, it was really phenomenal. And I would say it was very heartening to see a good percentage of Muslims, maybe 50%, 60% Muslim, and good percentage of non-Muslims. So it was a very collective effort in this regard, and Muslims from across the country flew in. In fact, on the flight to Dallas, I would say at least not half of the plane, but maybe 30% of the plane from here that the flight that I took. MashaAllah, so many of us, including members of our community, and buses from across at least 20 states had traveled to DC. And so, alhamdulillah, overall, it was a very massive success. There has not been any rally in our country with as many people for Palestine and explicitly against Israel as we have seen. And subhanAllah, qaddarAllah, I did not know this, on the exact same day, one of the largest rallies took place in London as well. So London and Washington, D.C. And then was it on Sunday, I think, but the same weekend, one of the largest rallies in Germany. And across the Western world, we're seeing massive support that is unprecedented. So some reflections on this. And as usual, these are going to be sensitive topics, but that's the goal here, to provoke us, to make us start thinking. One question that comes to my mind: we had the largest rally in recent memory in D.C. The quantity of people we haven't seen like this in D.C. for years, for anything. 400,000 people is not a small quantity. If you log on to CNN, to BBC, to Fox News, to any of the mainstream, you will not find a single article about that rally. You see for yourself the selectivity of what is reported in the mainstream media. The BBC reported on the London rally. Third page is there, at least the London one, the BBC reported. In this country, none of the largest organizations, it was reported in the Washington Post, it was reported on NPR, it was reported on a number of websites. The ones that I checked, NPR and the Washington Post, they said tens of thousands of people. Wallahi, I was there. And I know crowds because I've spoken to crowds. This wasn't tens of thousands, this was hundreds of thousands. The group that said hundreds of thousands, 400,000, it was one of the small non-mainstream media. I forgot the organization now, but they're not, you know, they're not affiliated with the mainstream media. And they're the ones that did a overall headcount and said 400,000, and they reported it. But you won't find it on CNN. You won't find it on NPR. You won't find it. Sorry, NPR has tens of thousands. CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC, nothing. Nothing. So the largest news medias did not even have a paragraph. How frustrated do you think that makes us feel? That we literally took over. I cannot even begin to explain to you, half the city was shut down. I was with my wife, we were shocked. We were walking 3 hours after the rally, and literally the police cars have blocked everything even 3 hours afterwards. It was the entire, you know, area around the White House because of our rally. We marched from where they allowed us the permit. We marched from there all the way to the White House. Four streets of people marching. The video footage is on cell phone, it's on Twitter, it's on. So if this is happening in America, and the mainstream media is not reporting it, what do you think that is happening in the Middle East? Do you think the mainstream media is going to report it? So we see ra'y al-ayn with our own eyes, the selectivity of what is reported in the mainstream. Never ever trust anything that you read or don't read. This is the reality of what we find ourselves in. Another problematic issue, very troublesome. SubhanAllah, across the Western world, the support for Gaza and Palestine is unprecedented. The support for Israel is not even a tenth of what is for Palestine. So marches for Israel against Gaza will not even get 15,000 people in D.C., right? We got 400,000. They cannot even get 20,000, right? Yet our policies are reflective of this minority. Is that not the case, right? The government policies, our president, I don't want to get too political, but he just released a statement on the 100th, day after the attack. It's all about the oppressor, not even the mention of the oppressed. The word Palestinian is not even in that document. Subhanallah. The same day we're doing the rally, and he releases a statement in support of the oppressor and not even mentioning the oppressed. So this is no doubt, it makes you feel a sense of frustration, strong sense of frustration. But this is where we are tested, as I have said multiple times. This is a long-term battle. It's not going to be a day or two. And one of the things that I find very positive, and this goes back as well to the statement of Arabic, رُبَّ ضَارَّةٍ نَافِعَةٍ, sometimes out of a negative, a positive comes. After 9/11, for those of you that are old enough to remember or were here to remember, after 9/11, no doubt 9/11 was a tragedy. It affected our country. It affected us directly. But one of the positives, one of the biggest positives that happened, it forced us as an American Muslim community to become mature. It was like a punch in the gut. You know, sometimes when a tragedy happens, may Allah protect all of us, if a young person faces a tragedy, it makes him older, right? Maybe a teenager has to face a tragedy, a trauma, all of a sudden he's no longer a teenager, he becomes a young man. For us, that 9/11 moment, it was like that. I know it was for me 100%, and I know it was for the da'wah in America. Those of us that are active in da'wah pre-9/11, 9/11 changed all of us. And we started realizing that we were in a very much intellectual bubble. We're not thinking critically, politically. We're not engaging. The government cracked down on us. We had no plan. We had no connections with other organizations. We had no, networking with our own government. And therefore, the damage done to our community was unprecedented. Mosques shut down, masajid, scholars deported, many institutes, people went to jail. All of us, including myself, SSSS, remember the SSSS, right? I got that all the time. Guess what? We matured. We matured. We realized, hey, we can't just take this lying down. We need to fight back. We mobilized. We, for the first time, realized, hey, we have a stake in this country. This is our country. They can't do this to us. And all of a sudden, the discourse became mature. What are we going to do? Take them to court. And guess what? By and large, we won. By and large, those SSS were removed, right? The NSA wiretaps, I'm sure they still have it. I'm sure this is being tapped as well. But publicly, at least, a lot of changes took place. Let's be honest here. The rule of law was manifested here in a way that would never be manifested in many of our countries back home. Let's be honest here. Now, let me be blunt here. Many of us became complacent. A new generation of youngsters have come. These youngsters in their even late 20s, they don't remember 9/11, right? And so we find that same naivety, that same utopian idea of black and white, and we find an appeal to notions of simplistic fundamentalism, that we shouldn't get involved in politics, we should not be getting involved with people. In the rally, politicians came. In our rally, politicians came. Very high-level politicians. Do you think all of them have views that are 100% Sharia compliant? Of course not. Muslim politicians came. And this leads me to another problematic issue. We have to, as a community, mature up and distinguish between a politician and an alim. The Muslim politicians in Congress now, all of them have problematic views about whatever, LGBT, whatever it might be. Yet all of them, without exception, by and large, are standing up against Israel. Some of them, there's the Palestinian, one Palestinian American in Congress, one, the only one. And as we know, the Israeli lobby is targeting her $15 million. You know this. Now, if we were to invite her to EPIC, what's going to happen? I'm being brutally, this is my community, let me be blunt here. The Israelis want her out. We as a Muslim community are not even mature enough to understand, and this is not a blanket endorsement. Before the youngsters immediately released the YouTube videos, Yasir Qadhi, a'udhu billah, the foolishness in this regard. It's not black and white. There is a person in Congress, she can stand up and say, my grandmother is getting bombed in Gaza. Who else can say that? And she's bringing this plight in a humanitarian manner, effectively. What should we do? Allow AIPAC to kick her out? Wallahi, I ask you bluntly, this is not an endorsement of everything about her. Please, this is our problem. It's not black and white. So we have to mature up as a community. We have to understand she might have a role to play. She's not an angel. She has issues. Everybody has issues. Overall, what is her function? And all of the Muslims in Congress, what is their function? To establish the Sharia in America? To shut down the alcohol stores? Is that what they're going to do? Or are they defending the rights of Muslims in this country and abroad? We as a community need to start thinking in not in 2D, in 3D. We need to start thinking holistically. And these issues like Gaza, they are, for many of our youngsters, a wake-up call. Because they realize how foolish is it. Still, some of our clerics are discussing, oh, this guy has beliefs. He believes in this fiqh position. He believes in that aqidah position. This guy's an enemy. People are seeing through this. We don't have the luxury to be divided amongst ourselves. These petty issues, we need to move past them. We have one small community in America, less than 1%. If we divide amongst ourselves based upon where I put my hands, or even, of course, I give a simplistic example, wallahi, even bigger issues, the classical controversies over qadr, over sifat, over whatnot. These issues, let's discuss them in a private room. Let's not bring public division. Let's not break the community up. So we're seeing this when Gaza's being bombed. I don't have the luxury to divide amongst ourselves based upon issues of 1,000 years ago. So, and in some levels, this is a positive. Our maturation politically, our understanding of our communities, what are our pros and cons, what are our overall agendas, how are we protecting our rights? And this leads me to one final example, not quite relevant to us, but I want to bring it up. Again, controversial, but so be it, because again, this is where we are heading here. Yesterday or today, I forgot. I think yesterday, UK announced that they're going to ban a party. Now, usually I don't mention groups' names. Today I will. This is Hizb ut-Tahrir. Usually I do not criticize groups by name. Right now I will, because I need to move to my final point. Me personally, I have never been a fan of this movement. Me personally, since my teenage years, I have been irritated by this movement. I have never agreed with them. If you don't know them, don't worry about it. Good for you, whatever. I'm just telling you because I'm going to get to my main point here. And in my own preaching and teaching, this movement has criticized me more than any other movement except one. One movement is my main critic. This movement is number two. They have called me sellout, mubtadi', kafir, American imperialist. Even though, frankly, listen to my lecture I gave in front of the White House. How can you call me pro-American imperialist? But anyway, this is their view. Just like every narrow-minded group, and they're not the only one, my way or the highway. If you don't agree with them, most of them. If you don't agree with them, they think you become the enemy. And they start labeling you, targeting you. Again, not all of them, but some of them. And I have found them to be, some of them are good people, and some of them are very narrow-minded, and I don't like them. And many times I've refuted their ideology. 2 weeks ago, when I spoke about khilafa, I was refuting them. 2 weeks ago. Now, why am I saying this? Because usually I don't talk about groups. Listen to me carefully. My preaching is actually meant to convince them and minimize them, right? My preaching, I'm trying to convince them you're wrong, you're fanatical, you're living in a utopia that's not true, you're disconnected from reality. My preaching is meant to minimize their influence. Now listen to me carefully. UK just announced they're going to ban the movement. If I were in England, I would publicly stand up and defend them. This is what I'm trying to get at. Because we don't want the government getting involved and banning movements that we don't like. This is not a violent movement. There's no killing, there's no bombing, it's just ideas that are a little bit, you know, fringe. This ideas that are uncomfortable, ideas that are left-wing, right-wing. They're not harming anybody. They're not physically punching people. But because they have criticized Israel a bit too, you know, boldly, whatever, in this regard, and they have supported the organization Hamas in ways that others have not. They have been a bit too explicit in this regard. It's freedom of speech. They should not be banned. So my point is, I want to give you an example in my own life. I will publicly support their right to exist, even as I publicly criticize their views. Does that make sense here? In my humble opinion, this is maturity. We have to learn. I would never want the government to start policing, oh, this is a radical group. Because the minute you allow them to be shut up and locked up, who do you think is going to be next? Who do you think is going to come after that? We have to be smart enough to differentiate between internal preaching. And even before this, I never mentioned them by name because I don't want to cause animosity. You know, if you know, you know. If you don't know, you don't know. But now, today, when the government has declared them, this is there. In our country, it will be much more difficult, but it is not impossible. In our country, it will be much more difficult. And by the way, FYI, 14 years ago, I took a class with Tony Blair at Yale. I documented that. I spoke about that. And Tony Blair brought this up, that I wanted to ban Hizb ut-Tahrir. And I said in class that if you had done so, you would have gone against your own principles. And I said to him, and I'm saying to you right now, I disagree with Hizb ut-Tahrir. But if you're going to ban them because you think they're offensive, then be consistent and ban so many other groups, including the far right, which is Islamophobic. You should ban them as well. You're not going to ban them. Why are you selectively choosing what you think is problematic and others are not problematic? We cannot open this door. So my point here is that, miscellaneous thoughts, the political engagement as Muslim minorities is not a simple binary black and white. And my goal, especially for my community, is that we reach a level of maturity that we understand. As the Arabic saying goes, لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ. Every platform has a different thing to say. Who you invite to give the khutbah, who you invite to be a religious preacher, is not the same as the person who's going to benefit in the Palestinian-Gaza crisis. Not the same as what is happening in Congress. Not the same as the PR and media. Each one has a role to play. And as a community, اعطي كل ذي حق حقه, give everybody the right and their due. And if we do so, I actually believe, inshallah ta'ala, we will go leaps and bounds. The future is brighter. 400,000 people is no joke. 400,000 people coming together. And even if MSNBC won't report it, Twitter reported it. Facebook had it everywhere. The social media that we used, it was everywhere. Slowly but surely, the narrative will change. And if we are at the head of the curve and we're managing, inshallah ta'ala, to think 10 steps ahead, inshallah ta'ala, we will influence. In the end of the day, this is what our religion wants us to do. I can't tell you, it's not my job to tell you specifically what political tactic to use. I'm not a politician, but as a person, inshallah, who has studied a little bit of ilm, I say to you, you cannot be disconnected from the country you live in, from the world you inhabit. You must be involved. This is your country. And if you're not going to get involved, subhanallah, the other group, without mentioning their names, is smaller than us, yet the country is following them. Our cousins, the other group, ethnic cousins, the other group is literally smaller than us. Yet their influence is much more. Why? I'll tell you why. It's not because of quantity. It's because they have gotten involved in the process. It's not a conspiracy. It's not Illuminati. It's not they control the world. No, they're involved financially. They're involved in the thick of things. And we, as of yet, are on the outside. We're protesting. That's good. Step one. But step two, we need to be involved in the process. In the media, again, okay, so much can be said. They just fired two of the senior most Muslim analysts on MSNBC. And they literally just got rid of them. Isn't that tragic? What are we doing about it? Nothing. They literally got rid of two of the most prominent Muslim voices on mainstream media. And you know what? We all know why they said so. It's because they were trying to be unbiased. It wasn't even that they were biased. They were trying to present both sides. This is how powerless we are. That our Muslims who are just trying to be unbiased, they get kicked out. Khair, we're not going to give up. At least we got to that level. So we're going to try again and again and again. We must try. There is no alternative. We must continue to try at every level. Now, those people that get involved in the media, do you think they're going to be like Molanas and Imams? They're going to do things I don't do. They're going to say things, interview people. That's the reality of their world. If we allow them, and again, this is the problem, because me as a sheikh saying this means I'm giving them the green light. No, they've chosen their career. We take the good and ask Allah to overlook the bad. Bottom line, everybody has a role to play. Journalists, media, politicians, shuyukh and ulama. Give everybody the role they have to play. Understand as a community, we need all of them. Not everybody is going to be an imam and molana. Some people have to do other things and they will benefit the community. I hope and pray inshallah with frank conversations, frank, open conversations. Let us, inshallah ta'ala, try to reach a level of maturity where we can stay together and overall try to maximize the benefit and good. And with that, inshallah, I'll see you next week. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.